This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. I want to give us a deep dive into the novel and the film Dune by Frank Herbert. Dune is the 1965 novel that I think is typically classed as the top-selling science fiction novel of all time. I remember growing up watching this, the David Lynch version, which many people dislike. I actually like it quite a bit. I didn't read the novel until some years into the 2000s. I forget exactly what year. And I remember Alex talking about the Dune series quite a bit, and I remember that Seleucia Secundus is the prison planet, so I thought, well, maybe there's some association that Alex had between why he named one of the websites Prison Planet and this element of Dune, this great story. So I decided to dive into it, and I've not read the whole series. I'm about three novels in, but I have read the first one with much attention and detail, and the reason that I was really blown away was that Herbert includes a tremendous amount of geopolitical, religious, sociological, ecological, esoteric, you name it. It's all included in this novel, which is very, in my view, very rare for sci-fi. Every now and then a science fiction author, maybe a Philip K. Dick, or maybe even somebody like a William Gibson, they'll include some pretty esoteric elements, but they don't usually get into things like real-world geopolitics, putting that into the novel, mind control, alternate personalities, genetic memories, trigger codes, assassins, the kind of stuff that we read about in the CIA's MKUltra documents. It's very odd to find this in a 1965 novel from Frank Herbert. And so with the recent release of Dune from the famous director Denis Villeneuve, don't you dare say Villanueva, even though that's what it looks like, because every nerd will immediately correct you. This recent instantiation I thought was really well done. And then, of course, Dune 2 came out a couple weeks ago and is now considered like the new Lord of the Rings. The nerds are going crazy. It's getting all these accolades. Might win awards, and I believe they just confirmed that they're going to make the next one, Dune Messiah. So you say, well, this is pop culture. Why do I care about this? Because remember, as we've covered here in my analysis on several fourth hours and in my two books, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2, I do have a in-depth analysis of Dune in Esoteric Hollywood 2. If you want to read that literary essay, it's important to do this because a lot of times the fiction prepares us for where the system wants to go. We call that predictive programming. Not all fiction is predictive programming. Not all movies are necessarily predict the future. Sometimes authors and writers who perhaps come out of the intelligence world want to put what really happened into their stories. For example, I watched this week a series called Little Drummer Girl, which is a 1982 John le Carré novel. John le Carré was in the British intelligence service, that whole sector. He worked for MI5 and for MI6. And so he put those real world things that he learned into his stories, much like Ian Fleming did, but in a more realistic way. James Bond is very kind of cartoonish and got a lot of Hollywood elements. Le Carré strived to have a really realistic approach to his spy fiction. But what's fascinating about that series is that it was written in 1982 and it dealt with the facing off between the Mossad and the PLO. And so there's a lot of fakery, there's a lot of stagecraft, there's false flags, all that goes into what you might expect in Le Carré telling us, as the novel says, terror is theater. I'm not saying by that there aren't real terror attacks or that everything's fake. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the point of the novel is that terror has a specific goal of theatrics, of scaring people. And Dune also includes a lot of these same principles of real-world geopolitics. And although, as I understand, he was, Frank Herbert I'm speaking of, was a GOP speechwriter, I don't know that he had any necessarily intelligence connections, but he seemed to really know in some sense what was going on, even getting to pretty wild things like geoengineering, terraforming, all kinds of wild things. This is the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer, as we do a deep dive into the predictive programming of Dune.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jay Dyer, Jay's analysis, and we're doing a deep dive into the story of Dune, both the written text from Frank Herbert and the visual presentations that we've seen, particularly the more recent release, the blockbuster Dune 2, which everyone is talking about. It's the first time many are saying that they've had a wild theatrical experience where they felt like a movie really moved them, and they say this hasn't happened since Lord of the Rings or since films like The Matrix, something like this, where both the visuals, the sound, the storytelling was all pretty much top-notch. Now, as you said, Frank Herbert himself was an interesting character who was not on the liberal side of things. You think of science fiction authors as being these sort of libs who want to promote the idea of a never-ending so-called progress. They're irreligious, they're against the mystical, they have a future of pure scientism and utopia ahead of us, and we don't find that in Dune at all. In fact, one of the most striking disparities between science fiction writers and what Herbert presents is the banning of AI. In fact, in the world of Dune, there was this event that happened where AI got so advanced that it actually enslaved the humans. And so I think 10,000 years or so before the events of what we read in Dune, there was this jihad, they called it. It's called the Butlerian Jihad, and this was a religious crusade against AI. So not only is there no future utopia in this series, but there's also a specifically anti-AI pro-human bent. And in regard to the villains, you have this nefarious coalition of the Emperor, who is the Emperor of the Known Universe, who's made an alliance with one of the royal houses known as the Harkonnens. The Harkonnens are these very degenerate, pedophile, and in some versions, cannibalistic people group who basically live on an H.R. Giger-style planet. And their plan is to take over the planet of Dune or Arrakis, which is a desert planet where there is this drug that has all of these mystical powers and capabilities known as the spice. And to control the spice is like controlling something like the heroin trade, or to control something like oil. So imagine if you could combine oil and heroin, that's what we would have with the spice. And or maybe something more hallucinogenic than heroin. But in regard to geopolitics, it fits very well with Herbert borrowing from Middle Eastern cultures such as Sufis, or borrowing from Sunni Islam, or borrowing from Bedouin tribes. These all go into being the influences for the native people of the planet of Dune called the Fremen. And I think there's a play on words there, the Freemen. And so they have an odd sort of syncretistic religion, the Fremen, where they have been influenced by Zen philosophy, Sunni Islam, paganism, Catholicism, because after the Butlerian Jihad, there was a universal galactic ecumenical council, basically like Vatican III in space, where an ecumenical council of dorks compiled together basically a new religion. And this religion became a quasi-humanist religion, a kind of a process philosophy where man could never be enslaved to AI. So a big pillar foundation belief of the future religion here is anti-AI. They do have tech, so don't misunderstand me. They have very advanced technology, and they have genetically advanced human beings and people that are genetically modified, but not AI. And so, again, unique turn of events there with contrasting that to most science fiction. There's also the, as we said, this coalition of corrupt people who, with the emperor and the baron, they want to take over this planet and to really harvest the profits. And they work together with this economic entity called the Guild. And the Guild and the Navigators, these people, they control travel and they control the spice. That's their goal, is to completely control it. And they'll have the upper hand in the universe by doing so. But in order to do this, they have to get rid of certain rival families. That's the Atreides family. So clearly, Herbert is borrowing from a lot of classic stories of intrigue, courtly intrigue, espionage. You can think about, you know, George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones being very similar to what you see in Dune. But Dune was one of the first sci-fi stories to really pull from medieval, you know, intrigues and espionage with houses and kings and queens. And again, that heraldry noble element, the hierarchical monarchy element, is not something you typically think of in terms of future science fiction. You think that's a relic of the past. Well, again, we have another thing that Herbert carries over, presumably because he thinks it's natural, that hierarchy is natural to mankind. Hierarchy is found in nature. Dominant hierarchies! Right, that's never going to go away. There's always going to be these hierarchies. And so he puts this into his stories. And this, as we said, this house that's being persecuted, this noble house, the Atreides, they're known as a righteous household. They're a good, a noble family. They come from a water-based planet called Caladan, and they intend to be the rulers. They're being baited into coming to this planet to be, as they believe, at the friendship and behest of the emperor, given the dukedom or given the control of the planet of Arrakis, and they believe they'll make profit from this, being involved in the spice trade and so forth. And, of course, they find out that this is a giant trap. It's kind of a false flag type of event, where they're led into this scenario where they're trapped, and almost all of House Atreides is destroyed, except for the promising young protagonist, Paul Atreides. Paul, I think in the novel, is something like 14, 15, 16 years old, so he's a younger guy, and if you watch the recent instantiation, they chose, I think somebody who's a more fitting version of Paul in the older version with David Lynch. Kyle MacLachlan is a little too old to be playing that character. But regardless, it's a very well-executed presentation of the novel, and it tries to stick pretty faithful to the story. There's some minor variations with the Zendaya character in the sequel, part two. But anyway, back to the main point, which is that so we've got this imperial intrigue story, this planet with the resources trying to be controlled. What does this have to do with global geopolitical conspiracies and MKUltra? Sounds like you're just reaching here, Jay. Well, actually, again, remember this is written in 1965. Frank Herbert sees a future where there's geoengineering. There's actually planetary ecologists who are involved in terraforming, and they actually geoengineer planets. He talks about the dangers of technocracy. He talks about elite bloodlines. And that these elite bloodlines have the ability to pass on genetic memories that can be awakened through certain events, through certain training, through trauma, through warfare, the odd amorphous religion of the universe of Dune. All of these can be ways to awaken these innate potentialities and powers within man, according to Frank Herbert. I believe that a lot of that's true. Obviously, I have religious beliefs, but I think, again, this is very unique, and you just don't see this in science fiction. Usually science fiction is kind of atheistic. Now, some people argue that this storyline is atheistic. However, we find that odd things happen as the novels progress. It gets very bizarre with basically somebody melding with a worm to become the Worm Emperor. There might be some symbolic meanings to that, but really the question is about this Messiah. So we have this storyline that the elite bloodlines have planted throughout the various colonies that they study for eugenic purposes. So the power structure has a religious arm known as the Bene Gesserit Sisterhood, and these are a coven of witches. They're called witches. But really, they've become these sort of like female bitchy Jedis, and they can kind of do, you know, tricks with their voice and mind control and hypnotism and, you know, maybe see a little bit of the future, not a lot here and there. They have prescience to a degree. And so the sisterhood is spoken of as kind of a secret society. But they're a secret society that is much more than what we think of as mystery rites. No, they're actually intelligence handlers. And they're not just intelligence handlers. They're also said to be manipulators of eugenic bloodlines. That's the term.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Catholicism and paganism have all melded to create this imperial-run religion. If you remember, I think it was on my channel or maybe the fourth hour a couple weeks ago, I don't remember, but I did a talk on the recent book by Michael Graziano about the CIA's relationship to religion. And this is an important text because it's not a conspiracy book. It's an academic text charting the history of the relationship of the OSS and CIA to various religious groups, fanatics, cults, all throughout post-World War II period and into the Cold War, all the way up until the 1979 Iran Revolution, CIA's relationship to the Ayatollah. Again, you can 1953 coup, Operation Ajax, all of that comes up in the novel, or excuse me, in the book. But most relevant is the manipulation of religious beliefs that the CIA often engaged in to dupe and trick indigenous peoples usually. So, for example, we read about Ed Lansdale's usage of the chupacabra, basically, like a form of a chupacabra, where in the Philippines he spread this myth of a vampire, and this helped to put down the Hook Rebellion and to aid the CIA puppet regime person in the Philippines. Likewise, Ed Lansdale then went to Vietnam and participated in what appears to be the Phoenix Program, bringing a lot of those horror movie techniques of draining bodies of blood and so forth, which are then used in Vietnam to scare the Viet Cong as a kind of a psyop. So that's Phoenix Program stuff. So then Ed Lansdale proposes the idea of a staged second coming of Christ to dupe the Cubans to support the West against Castro. Now, a lot of those plans weren't used, but you see what I'm getting at is that this is the type of strategy, the type of plans that are batted around between the Pentagon and the intelligence agencies and the generals and the CFR and all these high-level steering committees and groups. They're thinking about and planning things at that level. So that's also perfectly mirroring what is going on in Dune. That's exactly what the Witch Coven, Bene Gesserit Sisterhood, and that's very close to Jesuit. I think that might be intentional on the part of Frank Herbert, although, of course, Jesuits are homosexual men. They're not actually typically women. I don't think they're – it'll be a few years before we get women Jesuits. But maybe he was being prophetic and predicting a future where, you know, 1,000 years from now, all of the Jesuits are basically female witches, hence Bene Gesserit, Bene Gesserit. I'm just joking there. I'm not literally saying that, but I'm not joking about both, most of them being Skittles men. That's pretty well known. But you can see that this is a perfect mirror, again, for the religious manipulation via these types of entities in the world of Dune that Herbert is explaining and telling us through fiction. So beyond that, though, this coalition occurs where the imperial power united with these corrupt, degenerate pedophiles, the Harkonnens, are using false flags and so forth in terror to get rid of their enemies, to bring about a total monopoly control, which they kind of already have, but they're just concerned with a rising rival that they can't control, through this figure of Paul Atreides, who becomes a symbolic war hero, right? He becomes this figure of the revolution against the empire and the system, right, against the imperial powers. And even on the part of Paul and his mom, who's a sort of pseudo-Mary character, because even though Paul doesn't have a miraculous birth, there is an attempt kind of mirroring Moses, right, where there's an attempt to persecute the Atreides to stamp out the bloodline. This is a common motif that we've seen in not just biblical literature, but ancient literature, where you want to stamp out rivals because bloodlines might produce, you know, a future challenge to your throne or to your power. So, you know, in the Bible, we have the stories of Pharaoh trying to kill the Israelites. And then Moses is put on that little raft and he's, you know, floated away to safety. Likewise, in a mirror of that, Herod tries to stamp out the mythology in Herod's mind, the myth, because Herod's not a believer, of a coming Messiah. And so Herod has Israelite children, the firstborn killed, mirroring what Pharaoh had done. And that was to stamp out the possibility of a Messiah, because if the Jews believed in a Messiah, it would empower them. It would give them strength and unity. And that was the motivation of Herod to try to stamp out that myth. Likewise, in the story of Dune, you have this parallel of the Savior myth, the Messiah myth. He's called novel in the Arabic, the Mahdi, which is the Arabic term for Messiah. He's called the voice from the outer world, the voice of God, and so forth. He's the right hand of God. So he's a kind of sort of Messiah type of figure. But we find out that this myth, this story, has been seeded by the Bene Gesserits and the empire for many, many, many generations to bring about and control the figure that will be this symbolic warrior Messiah figure. In reality, though, what happens is that they're not able to control him. And so there's this sort of mystical initiation process. Here, I think Herbert is telling us that there's a real initiation that occurs at times. I'm not saying this is good, but I'm saying that drugs become an initiation to seeing things in a different way. And so for the character of Paul, he undergoes this what's very close to a very intense drug trip. Through taking the water of life, this is kind of a mirror to something like initiation into Christianity through baptism or the Lord's Supper or something like that. It's kind of a drug version of sacraments. And this is really the way that Aldous Huxley, for example, spoke of hallucinogens as a form of sacrament to initiate people into seeing, you know, higher dimensions, other realities. And this is what happens to Paul. Paul does the initiation rite that only the women of the Bene Gesserit sisterhood are supposed to do. And Paul goes to the place that the women can't go. Feminists thus dislike the story. They think it's too patriarchal and whatnot. So even though, you know, I'm not agreeing with every element in the perennialist philosophy of the story, there are elements of it that are kind of traditional, so to speak, hierarchical, that libs don't usually like. And that might be why they kind of made the Chani character a sort of a butthurt atheist who basically in every scene is making a stank face. If you watch the film, like every scene is her doing that. So she's butthurt. That's not really in the novel. I don't read anything about stank face from Chani's character. But anyway, the drug element here, I think, speaks to another insight that Herbert has, not just with maybe studying. He's writing in the 1960s, so he's seeing maybe the rise of the counterculture, the hippies, the experimentations with drugs and whatnot. So I don't know if he did it, but I'm saying he's perhaps looking at this process in America and maybe applying that to how ancient cultures, their mysteries are making a comeback. And even though Paul's initiated then to become this sort of pseudo-god figure or quasi-divine figure, in reality, the more telling element is that there are these figures who are conditioned, we're told, by the empire, and they're given to the various noble houses to be consultants, to be what they call human supercomputers, to be doctors, and so forth. And that's important because this imperial conditioning seems to be very parallel to something like a form of MKUltra. And we're going to see this again with the character of the traitor character of Dr. Yue. This is the Alex Jones Show, and I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, breaking down in-depth Frank Herbert's Dune. Don't go anywhere.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I know, as viewers and listeners, you've heard callers call in and talk about how X3 has changed their life. You've heard listeners talk about how incredible 10-Hour Clean Energy Turbo Force is. Well, both products are back in stock right now. In fact, X3 has been sold out for more than 6 months, but despite that, it is 40% off because I want the people who have never tried the product to try it. Our regular listeners and the folks that have already tried it are chomping at the bit to get it. We appreciate them. But less than 1% of you ever buy a product at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there. Try X3. Get the missing link that's essential to all electrochemical activity in your body. This is the purest, highest quality triiodine out there. You owe it to yourself to get a bottle and experience it for yourself. Takes a few weeks to kick in. On average, get X3. While you're at it, get Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy at InfoWarsStore.com. Both of them discounted right now.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Houses. And we're talking about the amazing insights and depth that Frank Herbert put in the story that really gives us a window into how the real power structure of our world works. The global elites, how they control things. I'll give you one example that comes up in the first novel. Every chapter begins with a quote from a fictional book from within the Dune universe. And so here we have a quote from one of the messages that Paul the hero sent to the trading guild, or excuse me, to the families of the elite families of the universe. And he's quoting the emperor and pointing out the emperor's strategy. Get this. He says, quote, control the coinage, the money printing, and control the courts, and let the rabble have the rest. So the emperor is saying, this is Paul quoting the emperor, if you control the money printing and the courts, I care not who the politicians are. It sounds very, very, it's almost parallel to the famous Rothschild quote. give me the power to print the money, and I care not who the politicians or the presidents are. And also he adds in that the strategy of the empire is also to control the courts or the legal system. And if you control those two things, nothing else really matters. You don't really have to control anything else. Even the religious element can be just another kind of arm of corralling the people into the imperial superstructure. Now, I'm not saying that everything is fake and everything's controlled. That's not what I'm saying. Not everything is fake and gay. A lot of things are fake and gay, but not everything's fake and gay. But the novel, if you pay attention to all the details, you'll find these little nuggets here and there throughout the book. And by the way, all of the novels have these nuggets. As I said, in the sequel, you have the notations and the references to modifying and experimenting with genetic bloodlines to try to produce the eugenic Kwisatz Haderach or the super being. Now, in the world of Dune, in this universe, as we said, we have this notion of elements of MKUltra that he brings to bear, because the Empire doesn't just rely on the ability to control money and to, you know, control the law or whatever. They've also figured out that if people are going to be working within certain noble houses, then they need to have certain conditioning done to them. And so what happens is there's an imperial conditioning process, which supposedly is able to mind control and root out any possible betrayal in your psyche. So they've got you completely kind of profiled, so to speak, and weeded out, vetted out from a kind of a, I don't want to say transhumanist perspective, because there's a ban on AI. However, they do have a form of cloning within the Dune universe, and yet not AI. So remember, it's not a future universe where there's no technology. There's just not AI, or there's not supposed to be. Later on, there appears to be a reemergence of a kind of AI, and that ends up being this golden path. And the golden path is, related to the golden path. The golden path is when Paul, as the protagonist throughout the original story, he has to choose the different timelines that he sees in his sort of vision, his prescience. He has to choose the one that saves the human race. What we find out, of course, is that Paul isn't the real Kwisatz Haderach. It's actually his son that becomes the super being, the worm boy. But Paul is still a hero, because even though he chose the option that would lead to global jihad and didn't want to become melded with a worm, a kind of super being, the jihad ends up being still the option that allows his son to be born, which then is the option to choose the timeline that saves the human race, which, as the story progresses, turns out to be a salvation that was the only possible choice against a future, presumably AI depopulation. So the idea is that in the future, those little hunter-seeker drones that you see, they eventually develop in such a sophisticated manner that they eventually are programming themselves to get rid of all humans. Humans are then seen as the virus. So notice he's putting again this idea of depopulation, and that the future struggle will be against whether humans will survive, whether humans will endure and populate the universe, versus an AI entity that comes to be that depopulates. Now, I don't believe that AI will become conscious. I don't think that makes any sense, because a robot or a computer or whatever, it can never do or be more than the algorithms that are put into it. Okay, it's never going to magically jump beyond the nerd code that goes into it. And nerd code never becomes conscious. It makes no sense. However, the nerds that code the code might encode killing everybody, right? So in that sense, it might eventually become advanced enough to, as we've seen, I think, this week, AI being used, I think, in Israel to pick certain people to target via drones. I think I just glanced at the story. I didn't see the whole story, but it's something like that. Something like Captain America, Winter Soldier. Was that Captain America 2? I forget. I get all those mixed up. The Marvel movies are all kind of the same. But one of those was actually about a future AI that could target people that they thought would be future resistors against the system. And so the drone system was basically ahead of time, popping targets from the sky. That's, again, a kind of an analogy to what's going on in the Dune stories as they progress towards the end and certain choices are made which require great sacrifice to save the human race. So I don't think, even though it's not a Christian story, there's still a lot of good elements, a lot of really powerful, deep insights in the story that allow us to see some positives here. Now, I mentioned in regard to religion, we want to talk about that a little bit, because even though the imperial conditioning, as we said, mirrors some of the MKUltra stuff, and we have kind of these mind control programmed assassins, there's in Doom Messiah, there's a sort of clone character who's supposed to be a triggered assassin to kill Paul and Paul's children. Even though that's loosely kind of parallel to what we see in MKUltra, more interesting in terms of its future predictive element was the future ecumenist religion and global galactic Vatican III, Space Vatican III, we could call it. Because there's an appendix. Again, remember, he's writing this in the 1960s. And in this appendix, he points out that the empire decides to create the next level of ecumenism. And he actually uses the terminology of ecumenism. It's the universal ecumenical council of space that creates, on the basis of multiple religious traditions, including the ancient teachings of all the religions, Islam, Buddhism, elements of the Talmud, elements of Hindu philosophy and thought, all combined to produce a future universal ecumenical meeting after the Butlerian Jihad to destroy AI. So after AI, they say it's time to create a man-centric religion of the universe, a kind of mega-galactic ecumenism, as I said, Vatican III in space. That's what the entire appendix is about. Now, this is very fascinating because this is right around the time of Vatican II. So Frank Herbert was at least perceptive enough to understand that, looking at what was happening at the Second Vatican Council and the movement towards ecumenism, that this was a move towards not just a broadening of the Roman Catholic papal system, but perhaps all the world religions now are becoming elements of or arms of this super religion, a superstructure religion. Again, that's perennialism. And so he's consciously putting perennialism into his novel. He even explains in this appendix about the religion of Dune that the Bene Gesserit sisterhood, who are the key promoters of this ecumenist religion, again, very parallel to Jesuits, as we said, and of course, Jesuits played a key role in Vatican II and the promotion of the ecumenist movement, that they had studied mind control, narcotics, drugs, meditation, and all of the elements of many of the pagan religions to perfect these techniques for their ecumenist religion. This is the Alex Jones Show. We're breaking down Dune.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So Keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. If you would like to follow me, you can follow me over on YouTube under my name. You can follow me on Twitter under my name as well and on Instagram. And you can buy my books and my lectures and my part twos, my interviews and all that at my website, jaysanalysis.com. Going back about 10 years of archives, getting deep into all the topics that you hear me covered, movies, film, well, movies and film. Literature, geopolitics, we lecture through tons and tons of elite writings. We've done Carol Quigley's Strategy and Hope. We've done CIA biographies, on and on and on. And we're talking today about Dune and the hidden symbolic messages, meanings, the codes that Frank Herbert encoded into his novels and into the films. And what we find is that, as we were saying, that this future galactic imperial controlled religion is trying to create the universe's super being so that the power behind the throne can control it and be the real universe's super being. Now, after this future ecumenist world or galactic religion is created, you know, Herbert explains, I'm going to read a brief quote here. The major dams against the anarchy against the empire's religion were the embryo for the Guild and the Bene Gesserit Sisterhood and the Noble Houses. This continued its 2,000-year record of meeting in spite of many of their obstacles. The Guild, that's the economic control system, their part appeared clear. They gave free transport to all the Noble Houses and the Ecumenical Commission's business. The Bene Gesserit Sisterhood's role was more obscure. This is the time when they consolidated their hold upon all the sorceresses. They explored the subtle uses of narcotics. They developed the Pranabindu training and received their missionary protectiva. That's their missionary mandate. That is the black arm of superstition. It was also during this period that they composed their litany against fear. I will not fear if there is a mind killer, right? And the assembly of the Azhar book, which is the compilation of all the great secrets of all of the ancient religions. So you'll notice what they did was they went beyond just the idea of Christian ecumenism and pulled in all the world religions as a form of perennialism, or perhaps some kind of pseudo-Masonic philosophy that undergirds this future religion. And it says that the ecumenist space religion that they created was a form of self-help where the ecumenists created what they called the Orange Catholic Bible. This is a future Bible which is all the religions mixed together. And it says that the men of this commission were likened to the archaeologists of ideas. They were inspired by God in the grandeur of their rediscovery. In other words, rediscovering God. So in other words, they kind of Carl Jung style piecing together an archaeology of ideas. I wonder what that sounds like, some popular people out there right now that are trying to do this very thing with their archaeology of ideas to create a galactic religion. What is this religion? Well, it'd really just be a kind of form of self-help. Now, the irony is that in the Dune story, as we said, as the novels progress, although Paul isn't the Kwisatz Haderach, there actually does end up being a universe's super being. So the genetic manipulation of the bloodlines, the genetic memory awakenings that can occur in the individual, they actually do bring about a universe's super being. It just doesn't culminate in the person of Paul. And the Bene Gesserits end up not really controlling the super being, but the super being does initiate a kind of a period of peace and the salvation of the human race. Because what happens is eventually it's an evolutionary process in this worldview. As we said, the AI that makes a comeback seeks to completely eradicate and depopulate humanity. And so what happens is that the future worm emperor, the worm boy, he figures out a way to hide people from the power of the AI and from prescience. So it's a very fascinating combination of elements of, as we said, real geopolitical events, how the world is actually run on the basis of the control of resources, whether it's water on the planet of Dune, it's how rare it is as a commodity, whether it's the spice, which is at once a kind of mechanism for travel and a drug that gives you enlightenment, gives you insight, and kind of in a way initiate you. The actual religious theology is very amorphous and unclear. It's kind of a at times agnostic, at times it's deism, at times it's determinism and predestination, at times it's sort of Islamic, at times it's pagan. It's kind of unclear what this deity is in this world, in this universe of Dune. But setting that aside, we can still find a lot of fascinating parallels. Again, maybe not so much on the religious side of things, unless you want to read the Worm Emperor as perhaps symbolic of the Savior is more than just human and requires a great sacrifice, right? In that sense, Christ was more than human. In our view, he was also fully divine, although fully human. And he also engaged in great sacrifice, sacrificing his life for the salvation of the human race. So that we find Sager parallels that could be read into this in a charitable way, so to speak. But again, setting that aside, it's more valuable, I think, for its geopolitical insights and its revelations of things like geoengineering, where we have Dr. Kynes, that's played by Max von Sydow in the David Lynch version. He's the imperial ecologist who is actually a Fremen. I think he's a Fremen spy. We have insights into espionage, handlers, how spy agencies, how power structures think about religion as a tool. They don't believe it. They don't care about the religion. It's purely a pragmatic tool for the imperial power to continue. And that's relevant for us because unfortunately, many of our elites, many of our leaders also see religion as a tool, as we saw with the case of Ed Lansdale and many of the CIA operatives who wanted to stage all kinds of religious miracles to prop up the CIA narrative. We think about the Vatican Bank and Operation Gladio and the terror and the black operation funding that was all tied up into the Vatican Bank and Gladio and the OSS and CIA. Again, speaking to the corruption of the empire. And there could be some element of how Islam or radical Islam fits into this usage as well. Although in the story of Dune, the Islamic-ish Fremen people end up being the people that fight this jihad and become the sort of radical adherents of the religion of Paul. Now, a lot of people, I'm going to make one side comment here about the next novel, because a lot of people don't find the sequel to be that interesting. It's very much a political conspiracy book. And that's fascinating in my view, because I did like Dune Messiah quite a bit. The first novel is very much an action, you know, grandiose Game of Thrones style story. The sequel is much more of a deep philosophical geopolitical conspiracy book. And in that book, we have the attempt not just to assassinate Paul, but to make sure that he doesn't have offspring because Chani is given abortifacients by the princess. So Paul is forced into a political marriage at the end of Dune, as you probably know, but he's also has Chani as his concubine. But what's more interesting is his sister, this character, Alia, who has, in many ways, perhaps more power or potential power than Paul. And spoiler alert, Paul and Alia are related to the Baron. Paul's mom is a unknown daughter, except they find out through the initiation process that they're the genetic offspring of Baron Harkonnen. So when Paul's sister becomes prominent as she grows older, and you see her in the new film briefly, is played by Anya Taylor-Joy, they've just said they're going to make Dune 3. So Dune Messiah will presumably have a lot to say, or will be a big part of the next Dune installment in terms of the films. And so Alia's character will become a Whore of Babylon type of figure. That's what I found to be really fascinating. And I'm not stretching it either, because if you read the Dune novels, there's places where Paul quotes the book of Revelation. So Herbert was consciously knowledgeable. He had a conscious awareness of the Whore of Babylon, this sort of imagery. And there's a specific ritual in the next one where Alia becomes something like the Scarlet Woman, and she's chanted and worshipped. And spoiler alert, she will go insane and become possessed. So I think, again, he's drawing not just from, you know, geopolitical stuff, but now he's also drawing from sort of Whore of Babylon, Revelation 17, 18 imagery to give us the potential future feminist goddess religion. And what happens? Alia goes insane. She becomes possessed by the alternate personality of her, of the emperor, of the Baron, of whom she's a relative. So a lot of fascinating warnings and symbols and elements in the Dune stories. And this is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Go to the InfoWars store and buy those products.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.